All right, this is CITR Radio. My name's Matt, and I'm the host of Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music and talk show. And we're back this week. Yes, this is the time of year where the sports broadcast kind of cuts into the show a little bit. So last week, the show wasn't on at all because the sports was on. And this week, the sports will be on at 7 p.m. So it's only 1 hour of Stranded today, as opposed to the usual hour and a half. But not to worry. It's good to break it up a little bit every now and then, and plenty of time to squeeze in a lot of good music, which I'm going to do. Instead of having an interview this week, I'm just going to get through as much music as I can because there is a lot of it and a lot of good music, old and new. And my regular format for the show is to get into older music first. And here's a band that I definitely recommend you have a listen to if you're a heavy music fan. This is a band that kind of I was aware of, but though I guess they were before my time. I know they're very well regarded, and I definitely think it's worth playing them because a Sub Pop Records re-release has actually come out for this band, strangely enough. They're called Feed Time. So they were kind of an avant-garde pub rock band, if you can imagine, like very, very punishing and heavy, but still something a little bit left of field, not just your typical kind of meat and potatoes, overpowered guitars that was, you know, the Australian pub rock scene. There was something a bit different about them, and Sub Pop Records obviously think so too. So they've many, many years later re-released a record of theirs, and that's how I found out about them here on the station. It came through. It's called Feed Time, the Aberrant Years Sampler. So Aberrant Records was a record label from Australia. The band Feed Time made 4 albums in the 1980s on Aberrant Records. Very loud, very brutal kind of music, and I want to play a couple of tracks for you now. First up, I'll play for you Motorbike Girl, and then Ever Again, and a track called Rock and Roll, which I'm sure is going to be very, very good. These sampler tracks were actually chosen by Mark Arm himself, Mark Arm from Mudhoney. Sorry. Anyway, let's get into the music, hard and heavy. This band is called Feed Time from the 1980s. 1982 to 1989 was their classic lineup. Here it is, Feed Time.
Yeah. Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Okay, we're back here on Stranded on CITR Radio, and a couple of tracks there from a band called Feed Time. They were a band from the 80s, Australian band, very loud, very very primitive and brutal. They were around from 1979 until 89, and I think there was some kind of reformation in 96. The members are accredited by their first names only. Rick was on guitar and vocals, Al was on bass guitar, and Tom was on drums. So who are they really? We never know. The band disbanded in 1989, just prior to their first American tour, due to internal stress, apparently. Here on Wikipedia, Rick says, "I got to the point where I would either kill myself or commit murder." So I guess it was kind of stressful being in a band that was this confronting, and probably the stress of touring, and definitely they're not a commercial band, that's for sure. So probably not a money coming in, not a lot of money coming in. But very powerful music, and as I mentioned, Sub Pop Records rediscovered this band here in the States, and they reissued their first four albums. And Mark Arm of Mudhummy chose some tracks for this sampler, which I'm playing you music from now. So the band's called Feed Time. I'll play you one more track called Rock and Roll. And then after that, a track from a band called Mice on Stilts from New Zealand, keeping with the heavy music tone of the start of the show at the very least. And thanks to Matt Smith from Triple A Records for recommending this band, Mice on Stilts. So first up, Feed Time from the 1980s. And then we'll go to New Zealand with Mice on Stilts.
We'll be right back. driven by your fire. Motion is reward, heedless to the cold. Recession of the shore and reckless call. Alone now in the cold. Upon an endless sea,
so we're back here on CITR 101.9 FM, a radio station from Vancouver, BC. And one more track there from Feed Time. that very heavy Australian pub rock band from the 80s, and there's a compilation called The Aberrant Years, as put out by Sub Pop Records in Seattle, Washington. And Mark Arm of Mudhoney was a big fan, and he actually handpicked some tracks for a sampler, which I'm playing music from. So that last track was called Rock and Roll, and then after that was a band from New Zealand called Mice on Stilts. Thanks to Matt Smith from Triple A Records in Auckland, New Zealand, who recommended that band. We interviewed Matt a couple of weeks back, a very interesting chap, telling us about what's happening down way down there in that other country adjacent to Australia. And I always love playing Kiwi music. So now let's get into, here's a band, really interesting side project of the two blokes, two lovely guys from the City Streets who are no longer with us. We're getting into some Canadian music now, which we will for the rest of the show, because it's just so much amazing music that I'm just struggling to keep on top of. So we'll get back into a lot more Australian music next week. But anyway, Eternal Husbands. Two members of the City Streets who are no longer with us. Really sad that brilliant band from Edmonton who were based in Montreal for the last part of their career. But we do have a project from Rick and Matt from the band. It's called The Eternal Husbands. And this was recorded in 2012 and 2013 in Montreal. Rick Reed, Matt Letty. And it's very, very, very different from the City Streets, who were more of a straight-ahead kind of indie band. Eternal Husbands is a lot more ambient and laid back. And we're going to hear a couple of tracks from them right now. So this is Eternal Husbands, featuring Matt Letty and Rick Reed, formerly of the City Streets, the great Canadian band.
Thank you. chasing all these fever dreams. Me chasing all these fever dreams.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Okay, we're back here on CITR Radio, and a couple of tracks there from The Eternal Husbands. That is a side project of Matt Leddy and Rick Reed from The City Streets, who are no longer with us, unfortunately, that great band from Edmonton. But The Eternal Husbands is a very worthwhile project. We played a couple of tracks from their debut. Okay, so let's keep it Canadian for the rest of the show. We have the sports coming up at 7 o'clock. They're shaving off the last half hour of the show, not to worry. CITR Radio, of course, runs Shindig, the great competition that is held every year around this time of year. It's a weekly competition, and the semis are up soon. Let's play for you a couple of tracks now from bands coming up in the semis. November 19th, it's a Tuesday night. We have Hooves, The Bins, and Skinny Kids.
Thank you. You can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Uh, 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 uh. This is John M. Bennett, and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Okay, we're back here on CITR Radio. Stranded, not a lot of time left to the show. Sports is taking over at 7 p.m. It happens every now and then during this part of the year, but no worries. It's good to take a little break every now and then. Still some time for some great local music. Just there, we heard three of the bands who are playing Shindig, the Semis, next Tuesday night at the Railway Club. You first heard their Hooves, and also Bins and Skinny Kids. So get on down. Shindig is a yearly competition that CITR Radio runs, and lots of fun. In my own little bedroom project, had the chance to play in one of the rounds a couple of weeks back, and it was a life-changing experience for me. And I'm soon to be playing a show with these wonderful people I'm playing next, the Ruffled Feathers. I had a chance meeting with Gina from the band at an open mic just the other week, and it got me back in touch with their great music. I played them before, and they're playing a few shows coming up. They're going to be playing on the 22nd at Lanaloo's with Reef Shark and Arthur Crummins, and then on the 29th at Astorino's with Reef Shark, Collapsing Opposites, and myself, M. Lund, which is the name of my so far bedroom project, and I've just started to play out there live. So let's get into some tracks by the Ruffled Feathers from their debut. And they've been around for longer than I thought, a fair few years now, and a very good live band featuring Gina Lowe's on vocals. Let's play for you track one of their debut album. First up, it's called Home. Here's the Ruffled Feathers.
Carbon bombs are going out through the city. Hi, my name is Carrie Sirwetnik. I'm a former national team soccer player and founder of a nonprofit organization called Why the Women's World Cup Matters. On Sunday, November 24th, Canada's women's soccer team plays Mexico at BC Place. After the match at 3 p.m., we'll be hosting an after party at the Shark Club to raise funds and awareness for our First Nations and school programs, as well as our documentary film. Come join us to celebrate after the match. $40 includes a burger, beer, live bands, prizes, and more. We are also accepting donations and volunteer assistance. Find out how you can join our team to make a difference. Get your tickets early at wwcmatters.com and see you at the Shark Club Sunday, November 24th at 3 p.m.
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
Following is a live presentation of CITR Sports.
The battle of the top two teams here in the Canada West today at Thunderbird Stadium or Arena. Here we got the UBC Thunderbirds with a 7-2 one-run record, squaring off against another team with a 7-2-1 record, the Saskatchewan Huskies. T-Birds coming in off a 5-game win streak here tonight. I'm CJ Penn alongside Haley Callison here at the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Sports Center. T-Birds versus the Huskies, two very balanced teams. What do you think the key today is going to be for the Thunderbirds?
I think it's just they've got to come out. Both teams are definitely obviously confident coming in first in the league or first in the Can West right now, but obviously both teams have a ton to lose as well because 4 points on the line this week. It's going to be a great game between the two top teams. I think it definitely is the first time ever in UBC history that they've faced off as the top team against the top team.
Goaltenders in this one is Daniel Dubé in net for the Thunderbirds and Cassidy Hendricks in net for Saskatchewan. Puck just dropped here. We got underway here between the T-Birds and the Huskies. T-Birds in their white home jerseys with the blue and gold trim. The Huskies in their bright green jerseys with the black and white trim. The T-Birds carrying the puck in front here. It's going to be a centering pass. It goes through to Christy Capozzi, the captain of the T-Birds team. Goes down and thrown in front of the net once again, but Saskatchewan's going to clear this one out up center ice here, and it's going to be dumped in. They're going to change.
Really nice to see that there are two different teams on top. For so many years, it was U of A. It was Calgary always dominating this Canada West League. So it's great to see that UBC and Sask has really stepped it up in the last few years.
Start of the season, the preseason poll, they coaches believe that UBC and Alberta would be the top two teams. Saskatchewan's a bit down there, so they've had a really good start to this season coming on here. Tied for first with UBC in goals scored so far, and third in goals against with 18 in 10 games. Here's UBC is going to break out here. Tatiana Rafter with 9 goals, leading the conference. She's going to carry it in, wait for something to happen. She's going to take it down, round the net, circles it around, looking for something to pass to. Keith got it, passes back to Morrison at the point, throws it in front. That's going to go straight through right along the ice, and Hendricks will cover that up for a faceoff.
Great crowd here tonight at the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Winter Sports Center. We've got the UBC band in-house tonight. They played the national anthem. If you heard that on air, it was it's definitely great. It adds to the atmosphere here, and a lot of family and friends out to support the Thunderbirds.
They're quite the band. They've been out to quite a few events this year. They cover the amount of hits you'll hear throughout the game, some contemporary stuff, some old-school classics. They got even some new stuff as well. You'll hear that. Got a whistle just off the face-off draw here. Got some pushing and shoving right around.
That's always fun. As a player back in the day, I guess I still kind of play, but that always got me into the game. You just rub shoulders a little bit, make sure that you're into it. Every player is a little bit different. Some people have to get a shot. Some people have to get a couple hits in before they're really into it.
Just over a minute to played in this one so far. We got 120 minutes to go in this two-game series between the two teams. T-Birds win the draw and try and enter the Saskatchewan zone, but Saskatchewan will clear that one out. Casorso will take this. She'll try and force that out. Saxvik will take it now. Gets up past the blue line, but Saskatchewan tags up, and they'll dump it back in and chase this down. We played by UBC, though. They'll get their first. Schottmeyer's got it now. She just plays it off the boards and out. Rafter's going to chase this one. Saskatchewan in their own end. But Van Alstyne will carry that one and play it out. Intercepted, though, on the far boards. UBC will carry this in once again. Looking to carry this in front. Go around the net here. Back the point to Capozzi. Bounces off her skate, though, and will go just outside the line. You can see off the tag up, they're offside. Saskatchewan will try another breakout here. No shots on net for either. There's one shot for the T-Birds so far. I counted that shot from the point. UBC is going to carry this one out. Pass up, but it's going to be intercepted by Mutch. T-Birds will finally get that one out, though. Coming up the near boards. That's Wilson will carry this. She's looking to shoot through a screen, but that'll just flutter up over the net, partially blocked. We scramble over on the far boards now. Saskatchewan will come away with it, though. Come up to center ice, pass there, over, coming down the near side, a shot wide by Aniker. T-Birds will pick this up on the far boards now. O'Neill will carry this one, passes over now. The other side, that's Payne. She'll shoot that down.
Both teams starting out pretty strong. Very different game so far, though. UBC has just had their feet moving from the first step, whereas U of S is just playing it a little bit smart, a little bit simple, but still controlling the play when they have it.
It's a lot of completed passes here. Not so much shots on net, but just keeping possession now. Both teams not very taking many chances right now, realizing they're going up against very good offensive teams. Pucks down in the UBC zone. Player fall down there, but no arms in the air. UBC will pounce on this one now. Unrau fighting for it. He'll bounce off her skate and be carried out. Cook will take that, but she just loses it. And Hay will play it out for UBC to Unrau again. There's Parhar. Unrau will carry this down into the near boards. Unrau's got this. She's going to try a little deke there. It's broken up by Saskatchewan, and they'll throw this out to center ice, though, and Morrison will regroup. Be dumped in by Capozzi. Hendricks will play that behind the net, stop that. And Saskatchewan will get this out here. Cook, play that to the far side now. That's Harris now. She'll throw that in. Saskatchewan goes off on a change. Dubé will play that behind the net. Rafter now. She's got the 9 goals in the so far this season in the 10 games. She's got a 3-game goal streak. UBC will take this back to the point. That's Schottmeyer. There's Casorso, wrists on net. Rebound! Just goes wide. Rafter was whacking away at it, but just missed that one.
She will not miss many of those opportunities right on the doorstep of the Sass net.
Still fighting for it down in the Saskatchewan zone. UBC's getting that forecheck going. They'll try and get that out, but just goes past Casorso and all the way down the ice. No icing.
As you mentioned, as they are the two top teams in the league, both teams have a ton of scorers on the team. Top player to watch out for from Sask is Cammie Wooster, fifth-year Sask student who is third in the league for scoring.
Yeah, Wooster's got the 7 goals, 4 assists so far. Rafter's got 9 goals to go along with 5 assists as well. Saskatchewan will regroup here on their own net. Try breakout, but that goes off of Wooster's skates, and they'll have to regroup here and try it once again.
Pretty sure I didn't have 9 goals in my entire career at UBC, but...
And through 10 games, Rafter, you could say Rafter's been off to a fantastic start. Really just taking over the offensive lead for the T-Birds. Another one is Sarah Casorso as well. 8 assists and 3 goals to go along with a +7.
Yeah, I know. Rafter had a phenomenal year last year with the T-Birds, as did the entire team. Everyone who followed the UBC Thunderbirds last year knows that they had a turnaround season with 17 wins after one the season before. So Rafter was a huge key to that team success, making it to the CIS Nationals, and continues to show what she has in this league.
Face off in the UBC zone. Hannah Heisler wins that one for the T-Birds, but it's a bit of a scramble here, and it stays in the T-Birds zone, and Saskatchewan will come away with it. On the far boards there, that's Klassen. She's going to take that and throw it over the wrap around here. Dubé gets the pad down, and it's pinned right up against the post, and it'll come free. Dubé managed to just get her skate down in time on that wraparound. T-Birds will break out now up to center. There's Heisler trying to cut through the middle, but Jet's broken up there by Patron. Puck up near center ice. O'Neill's fighting for UBC. Saskatchewan will just throw that into the T-Bird territory, and they'll get off on a change. Thrown up to center, but nothing doing there as Saskatchewan fields that, but just beyond center ice, though, when they throw it in, it'll be icing, so all the way back down into the Husky zone.
Yeah, Danielle Dubé seeing her first shot of the night, just over 13 minutes left in the first period. Dubé, obviously a phenomenal goalie, played on Team Canada at World Championships in the past, and UBC very lucky to have her here as she's a full-time mom and firefighter.
Definitely.
As well.
Still this year, 5-1 with a 2.14 goals against average and 9.33 save percentage. So picking up where she left off from last year. Shot there, but that's blocked. UBC trying to clear it and scramble in front. That'll be taken away, and UBC's going to get a breakout here with some speed. Coming down the far wing. That's the Brown John. It's our Carpenter Bosch. That's broken up, and the Huskies will come away with 3 skaters, but T-Birds get a stick on that one. An unravel will chase this one in. T-Birds go off on a change. She's going to go 1-on-2, but passed in front. Brown John, backhand, thrown in front, but that goes past everyone. T-Birds maintain possession, though. The near boards, that's Parhar behind the net there to Brown John. She circles back, tries to fight off one defender, circles back again. Still got it along the boards, passed back to the point now. To the other side now, that's Hay looking to shoot. Shoots that, but blocked. UBC still has it, though. Parhar's fighting for it. Saskatchewan finally comes away with it. That's Greshner. She just chips that one in. Saskatchewan will change.
You're talking about Nicola Brown-John there, fourth-year student for UBC. Super feisty. She's definitely somebody that's able to get under the skin of pretty much any player in this league.
Parhar is going to chase this one by herself. But 1-on-3 there, and Saskatchewan will come away with it. But only gets it to center, though. Morrison will take that, looking for someone to pass to. Over to Casorso on the other side. She's going to circle around her net. Going to take it herself. She's done this quite a few times where she goes almost end to end. She'll pass this on to the far side, though. That's Rafter looking for someone, going to cut in front, but bodied off the puck. Manages to keep it in and pokes it down to the near boards. Fighting there is Schottmeyer. He's going to try and cut it in front. No, she's going to circle back past the Rafter on the near boards. Back to where the point is. Casorso shot there, but patted away by Hendricks. T-Birds get it off the rebound, though. Rafter in front. Looking to shoot, a little weak shot. Backhand in front. Hendricks gets the pads down. Makes the stop there. Still loose in front. Hendricks will finally cover that one up, though. A bit of a scramble there for quite a few seconds, but Hendricks just covers up for the faceoff.
Yeah, some great opportunities for UBC in the front there. They had 2 or 3 back-to-back opportunities, but Hendricks was able to keep her out, and there wasn't necessarily traffic. They were opportunities, but she could see the puck pretty much the entire time.
11-11 to go in this first period. Shots up on the board, say 3-1 for UBC. Scramble draw here. T-Birds come away with it. Back to the point. Just dumped in long for the chase, but Saskatchewan's the first one to get there. They're going to play this up the near boards. That's Wooster coming in with some great speed, coming up the middle. Going to try and do a bit of a deke, but loses the handle on that. Goes to the boards. Jorgensen now is going to fight for it. Wilson comes in, though, to help out on the back check. He played over to Capozzi, who spins, tries to fight off the defender to get it out. Pass in front, bit of a dangerous pass, but managed to chip up. People to come out, got 2-on-2 here. Goodwin throws in front, but that's knocked down there by the Huskies. T-Birds will regroup here. Payne will take this to center ice and dash in. Puck goes to the far end boards. T-Birds getting a really good forecheck here. They're using a bit more of the body down the far boards. Saskatchewan will come away with it, though. Here comes Bannatyne. Fought off by the puck, though. UBC not really letting Saskatchewan get into their zone. They keep standing him up at center ice. Saskatchewan just shoot it down. But that's blocked once again. That's Burgess. Fighting for it with, it's a big hit there by Much on Carpenter Bosch. No penalty on that, though. Saskatchewan coming in, slap shot. That goes just wide on the near side. Much kips that one into the point. T-Birds will come away with that. Brown John just flicks it up to center, and T-Birds going off for a change.
Those hard shots are the ones that Danielle's more used to. She played men's hockey for years. Last year was her first full season in many, many years, maybe decade actually, that she played women's hockey, all girls hockey.
Puck kept it at the point, slap shot, pad save by Dubé. Good rebound control there as T-Birds come away with it. Coming up through center, Casorso up to Unrau. She's going to try and cut to the middle, got to risk some space, but just a lofty wrist shot up into the chest of Hendricks, who holds on.
So looking at the Canada West statistics for top defensemen, Sarah Casorso of UBC is at the top with 3 goals, 8 assists, and 11 points, and not far behind her is Christy Capozzi, 1 goal and 4 assists, 5 points. They were partners last year and pretty much unstoppable. I think they made a little bit of a split this year to try and even their pairings out.
Scramble draw, won by Saskatchewan, pushes UBC in their own zone, but they got to regroup. Attempt of a cross-ice pass broken down by the Huskies. Dump it in, they're going to chase. That's Greshner on the chase there. She's got a hold of it, throw it in front. That's just broken up, and that'll bounce back to center ice. Patron will take this one now, looking for someone to pass to. Just banks it up off the boards. Greshner is going to fight away with it. T-Bird's going to come away with it, though. That's Schottmeyer. Passes it up to Rafter. Schottmeyer is going to take this one there. It's going to circle around the net. Still got it now. She's on the near boards, fighting off. She's going to throw it back down to the end boards. Raptor's going to chase. There's Saxvik now, who's going for it. Pinching there on the far side is a T-Bird defender. Still battling for it. There's Saxvik. Just keeps it in with her foot and just dumps it back in. Saskatchewan will finally come away with it here, and they'll get a bit of a breakout as the T-Bird's going a partial change. Still stopped it just before center ice, though, for the time being at least. And T-Birds will finally come away with it again on the far boards coming down there. The T-Birds are staying near the boards, though. Haven't really been able to get into that center of the ice. Now it's Casorso on the near point. He's just a wrister. Oh, just goes a bit wide. Hendricks reacted late to that one, just got her pad on it. Casorso's going to wrist it once again, but blocked. UBC still got it, though. Wooster will take this now. Manages to pass it up just a short ways. He'll finally, still not out though, finally carried in front of the net. Rapp, Heisler shoots that one in. Fought there. Wilson's with her. She's going to try and cut in front. But Saskatchewan just clogging that center of the ice, not allowing any UBC getting into that center ice.
Yeah, they're protecting the house really well. They know how dangerous some of those Thunderbirds can be.
They finally get it out, but Morrison right at center ice to field that. Might have been too many men on the ice there.
It's the third time that's happened, but Sass has got away with that.
UBC will carry this down the ice. That's Carpenter Bosch. Roy centering pass. But Capozzi just couldn't really get a good stick on that one. She still got it, though, circling around. Dumps off. Just Payne block shot, though. Finally, Saskatchewan will take this. It's Anneker. Throws it up. Be chased by Irvine. But good job wrapping her up, though. No play on that one. Still scramble behind the net, though. It's two players of each team. We come away with Irvine wraparound. Dubé got the pad down, which makes the save. Saskatchewan get a little bit of pressure here. Been a while since we've seen that. UBC finally get it up. That's Burgess now. We'll carry this, and she'll try and play it safely. Payne will have to take this back in her own zone, though, and she's checked by Irvine. Irvine has a good forecheck here. Saskatchewan has gone off the change, but Irvine's still out there, and she'll come away with it. Dumps it back into the near zone. Saskatchewan trying to get set up, but Unruh comes in on a back check, and she'll get it, and Payne will try and play this up the boards. Still in the fight. Kept in.
Thunderbird's really struggling to get that puck outside. It was hemmed in the Saskatchewan zone for a while, and now UBC's getting a taste of what they just handed.
Still on another clearing pass. Finally will get out, but thrown right back in, though, once again by Saskatchewan. Greshner fighting on that Nardboards along with Cook. Capozzi's there for UBC. Finally thrown up to Parhar, and she'll control this one and just calmly come up the near side, just dump it in, and they'll chase, try and get that forecheck going here. Saskatchewan, a much better job of dealing with that, and they intercept it right away and carry it up the center. Fighting there is Anneker. She's about 1-on-3, though, so UBC gets it. Coming in on the near side, thrown in front, shot, though. Bit of deflected there, and it goes just wide. T-Woods will play this. Parhar surveying the scene over now. To the far side, thrown up to the middle. It's Brown Johns. Got a step. She's got a breakaway, but it's tripped up, though. We got an arm in the air. Will this be a penalty shot?
No penalty shot called. But she's going. The referee is going to consult with her linesman on this. I would be surprised if one of the UBC captains isn't over speaking to the ref to try and get that call.
Brown John had about a step or two on the Saskatchewan defender. She lost the puck a little bit, but was taken down when the Husky defender dove. It looked like that was Dobler.
Well, UBC isn't questioning it, so they must have been paying a little bit better attention than I was. But typically, unless it's completely blatant, the ref's not going to make that call in a 0-0 game, top two teams in the league.
So we'll get this UBC power play to work. Very mobile, especially the defenseman. Casorso's going to rip away, and it's in! Casorso from the point, it might have been deflected. But only 7 seconds into the power play, UBC is on the board.
Yes, maybe that's why UBC didn't argue that. They know how strong their power play is. Only, like you said, only 7 seconds into the power play. Beautiful shot. I think it was deflected, whether it was by another Thunderbird or by one of the Saskatoon defenders. Regardless, it doesn't matter. It still looks the same on the scoreboard. UBC is ahead by one with just under 5 minutes left in the first period.
So one off the faceoff draw. Back to Capozzi, who throws it over to Casorso and wastes no time. Saw some space, just ripped it. Casorso has been doing that all year, as evidenced by her 8 assists and her 3 goals. We'll wait to hear the official announcement on who scored that one. Probably they had a few T-Birds in front of the net. But 4:34 to go in this first period. 1-0 for the T-Birds over the Saskatchewan Huskies here at Thunderbird Stadium. And T-Birds are coming right back. Here comes Rafter flying down the near boards, dumps it in. With Saxvik, you got Schottmeyer there as well. Saskatchewan will play this one out. Wooster over on the far side. Going to be shot in by Wilby. Kaylee Hay will take this behind the net for UBC. Saxvik there. UBC will take the loose puck in their own zone. And here comes Schottmeyer down the near board, stops and waits for a couple of her teammates to join her. Just throw it in for Morrison, coming in off defense and fighting off on this forecheck here. Got an announcement of the goal scorer here. Because I think we do. She takes this in their own zone here. Trying to get set up for another breakout. Saskatchewan get on the forecheck. Here comes Unruh, fires it across the other side to Parhar. He's got Brown John up in front of her, now trailing. Parhar is trying to make something happen, tries to cut in front through the middle, but that's broken up by Saskatchewan. They'll just loft that one up the center. Capozzi will take that one, and she'll get it back inside the line. But it'll come back out. Here goes Unruh. She's waiting for teammates to tag up. Good job by there. Parhar doing the splits to stay onside. So UBC's going to go in here. But Saskatchewan breaks it up pretty quickly. Come through the middle there. It's Patron. She'll carry this up down and dump it in. So there's Dobler there. She plays it in on net, and Dubé will cover it on up for a face-off.
Yeah, the UBC power play goal 7 seconds into their power play was scored by first-year Hannah Heisler, who is, in fact, from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, so might have a little bit of extra oomph in her step tonight, playing against some of her friends. Sis went to Casorso and Schottmeyer for the Thunderbirds.
So Hannah Heisler, 6 foot tall forward, really just in front of the net there and doing a great job, what she was needed to do, basically providing a good screen in front and even getting a piece of that one. So getting the goal on that, Casorso, her ninth assist of the season, that puts her even farther up on the assist leader and the scoring leader as well. Saskatchewan wins the faceoff and risks that one in front there. Dubé down, but a bit of a weak shot, and she manages to get her glove on that one.
Not very often do you see on a women's hockey roster more than one player above 6 feet. That's pretty impressive. As you said, Hannah is 6 feet tall, and we've got Kathleen Cahoon, another first-year student, 6'1". So it looks like Coach Graham Thomas was looking to add a little size to his roster.
Face-off here in the UBC zone, 2:14 to go in this first period. Another wrister here from Saskatchewan, but Dubé covers that one up. Once again, we'll do that all over again.
So UBC leading 1-0, just over 2 minutes left in the first period. Shots on net. Sask is leading by one. It is 6-5 for University of Saskatchewan.
This high is the second goal of the year, fourth point of the season. 2 goals, 2 assists now for the first year. Casorso, 3 goals, 8 assists. That puts her up into third place in Canada with scoring as for the time being.
With the strength in the season that the Thunderbirds had last year, it was the recruiting class is going to be continuously improving. UBC has proved themselves in this league. Players are going to want to come here. Vancouver's an incredible city to live in, and now they have a team that really has a lot to prove and a great program that people are going to want to be a part of in the future.
Saskatchewan will try one more entry with a pushback, so they got it right back, so trying there. Unrau will take this, though, left center ice. Be flicked in by Casorso. But Much will take this and play it over to the other side. But T-Birds break that up on a forecheck. With a scramble there, loose puck. But T-Birds, Saskatchewan will poke that one out. Casorso trying to break up the 2-on-1. She gets there first and does that. There's Capozzi now playing it up there to Unrau. She's at center ice, makes a nice deke. They're cutting through the middle again, another nice deke. That runs into her own players, though. So she'll just
little shock.
Calmly back that one in. Yeah.
Shocked that didn't end up offside when you made a play just outside of the blue line. Typically, it doesn't end up in your favor.
Greshner tries to pass that one up to Aniker, but here comes Patron now, who cutting up the center of the ice, cuts to the far side, trying to throw it back in, goes wide on the near side. Here comes UBC up through the middle. There's Saksvik fighting for it at the first line out here of Raster, Saksvik, and Schottmeyer. Schottmeyer tries to make a move, but that's broken up by Irvin. It's a bit of tangled sticks over there, a little bit of chippiness, and there's an arm in the air and a whistle.
Yeah,
wait to see who that is against.
Definitely going to be a hooking call on the Thunderbirds here as they have 40 seconds left in the first period. It's tough. The last minute of any period is pretty a dangerous play, let alone getting put on the PK here, but Schottmeyer kind of just stopped moving her feet, to be honest. Had she taken a couple extra steps, she's got the speed, she could have caught her, didn't need to use the hands, but it is a play that does happen a lot in women's hockey.
So Stephanie Schottmeyer in the box for 2 minutes or less for the final 40 seconds of this for a hooking penalty here. UBC will get it out, though, and Saksvik will backhand that one in deep into Saskatchewan territory. Raptors there on a forecheck. Saskatchewan will come away with this and start a bit of a breakout here. Long lead pass, but that misses everyone, and that'll be icing. 13.3 seconds to go, and faceoff in Saskatchewan's end.
Still more fans flooding into the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Winter Sports Center. There's been some controversy around the support for UBC varsity sports. I think some of the alumni are starting to get involved a little bit more, mm-hmm. and some of the city as well, to know that they've got to get out and show their support if they want to keep the all teams on campus.
Definitely. In the final 10 seconds here, Saskatchewan maybe trying a one last rush, taking it up just across Henry. There's Wooster coming in with some speed, looking for someone to pass to back to the point. They had a Flinton, but there goes the buzzer. 20 minutes in the books here. Huskies will have about a minute 20 of power play in the start of the second period, but right now it's 1-0 for the T-Birds.
Sask has to be a little bit more aware of the clock there. With that little time left in a period, you don't go to make look for a play. You have to see how much time is left on the clock, especially when you're in a power play situation. You know that you're pretty safe, that there's not going to be play heading back in the opposite direction. But to finish up the first period, UBC is about up 1-0. Again, the goal came from first-year Heisler. Assist to Casorso and Schoutmeyer 7 seconds into their first power play of the game.
We're going to take a quick break here from Thunderbird Arena for some quick announcements. We'll be back with some updates from around the UBC sports, what's happening tonight on the weekend.
We may be experiencing some technical difficulties back at the broadcast booth, so just going to share a little bit. There's a new partnership with CIS and the Canadian Women's Hockey League, the CWHL, which is a professional women's hockey league in North America. I had the opportunity to play in that league for 3 years with Burlington, and then one year with Burlington and 2 years with the Toronto Furies. It's a pretty amazing league, and it's exciting to see the opportunities that women do have following university hockey. Basically, it's a league made up of teams in Boston, Montreal, Toronto, Brampton, and Calgary now. So we've got one team in the West, hoping that that might change over the years, and we'll get one out in Vancouver is what I'd dream for here. But definitely a strong league. Any Team Canada player that is not playing university is mandated to play in that league. So it's a very strong, strong group, as well as Team USA. The Boston team is made up of pretty much all Team USA players. This year being one of those situations where Team USA and Team Canada are obviously centralized, getting ready and prepared for Sochi. So it's an opportunity for the girls coming out of university to get in there a little bit and kind of get their foot in the door when some of those top players aren't in and around. But if you get a chance to check out that league, definitely do. You can go to www.cwhl.ca and watch some pretty amazing hockey. Some of the top players in the world from countries all over play in that league.
We got some other scores from around the Canada West for women's hockey tonight. Got all eight teams in action. Over in Regina, we got a final here between Alberta and Regina. Regina only scoring games in the first period, but 2-1 victory for the Cougars, holding on there. They're so far holding on to fourth place, was just behind Alberta coming into this weekend. Over in Lethbridge, Manitoba's taking on Lethbridge. Manitoba's up 4-1 at the end of two periods. And over in Calgary, the battle of the two teams out of the playoff picture right now. Calgary's up 2-0 heading into the start of the third period. Calgary's got goals in the first two. Over on the men's side, UBC men's hockey in action over in Saskatchewan. Another tough defeat for the Birds. Just their goaltending this year has not been up to par. Let up six goals on the night, down losing 6-2 over the Huskies. And only those six goals came on 17 shots as well. So Matt Hewitt came in and gave up, made only 11 saves on 15 shots. And Steven Stanford came in and faced two shots and let them both in. So kind of a troubling trend over for the T-Birds on the men's side.
Yeah, they're definitely struggling. We had an opportunity to call their game a couple weekends ago, and they have the skill and the talent out there, especially if you look at the roster on paper. Definitely have an opportunity to make a bit of a, I think, a shocking comeback, hopefully, or not necessarily shocking, but a comeback in this league. They've got the talent there. They just need to sort some things out in that locker room.
Yeah, some very young players. Look at the first and second years as well. Some good transfers in from the WHL. We were raving about Luke Lockhart last week, his speed and just his ability in the offensive zone, and guys like Neil Manning on the point as well. He was CIS All-Canadian last year. Like Brad Hoban, Scott McDonald, the talent is there. I think just so far as this goaltending is the problem for them.
Yeah, talking to some of the guys too, I know coming out of playing WHL hockey or OHL or BCHL, wherever they are. It's a little bit of a transition to get into university hockey, whether it's definitely some amazing players in the league, but typically when you decide to come and play university hockey, you have made the shift to focus on your education, focus on your career and what's next within your life. I'm not the case for everybody. Of course, there's that a few players that do go on to professional hockey, and I've seen it with players from back in the day like Stéphane Gervais, still playing pro over in France. He's been overseas for many years, but a lot of those players typically are shifting their focus a little bit, and it does take some time to kind of commit to that as well.
Some other scores from around the UBC this weekend is no other home games. We've got teams on the road. Women's volleyball stays undefeated on the season. 3-1 victory over in Winnipeg. Men right now are tied at 24 in the third set. The two teams split the first two sets, so it's 1-1 right now. UBC men having another strong season right now, hanging up around the top six in the CIS rankings. Women's basketball tied at 53, heading into overtime there. Women's basketball, a bit of an iffy start, but we've been saying that they're usually kind of a late developing team, usually can have some strong runs later in the year. And men's basketball, we get underway after that one. And if we mention as well, men's soccer national champions this past weekend over in New Brunswick, capped off with just an unbelievable season, really an unbelievable two-year stretch where they lost only one game. Undefeated nationals again, just 3-1 victory in the final. Really just, it's hard to put into words how just dominant they were over this two-year span.
Pretty exciting.
So yeah, that's really, you could almost say a dynasty. It looks like they're the way that really no one can stop them. So yeah, around UBC athletics as well, women's soccer as well, they had a kind of a disappointing end, didn't get to nationals, but the basketball team's getting underway. Hockey as well, they'll be here next weekend as well for a home and home or home series. Women will be on the road.
Yeah, the women are heading to Manitoba, and then they play in back here for their final weekend before Christmas against Lethbridge. But we'll take a little break here. You can enjoy the sounds of the rink and the good background music, maybe hear a little bit of the UBC band. We tried to, but we didn't hear anything.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no? Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at CITR.ca.
Do you need someone to talk to? If you are seeking a listener who is non-judgmental, confidential, and familiar with resources, then a Speakeasy volunteer might be able to help you. AMS Speakeasy is a peer support service located in the North Concourse of the Sub. If you would like to speak to someone, come to the desk and tell a volunteer, or ring the doorbell located behind the desk.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen, and then get riding.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Come enjoy British Columbia's beautiful wilderness with the UBC Varsity Outdoors Club. Try your hand at hiking, backcountry skiing, rock climbing, kayaking, and much more. Whether you're a beginner or an expert, we have trips happening every week, usually at no cost. Check us out online at ubc-voc.com.
Hi, my name is Carrie Sirwetnick, and I'm a former national team soccer player and founder of Why the Women's World Cup Matters. In 2015, Canada will be hosting the Women's World Cup. Most of us understand the positive impact soccer and sports has on girls. In fact, girls and women average 47% of the playing population. They pay 47% of salaries in the soccer industry. They represent millions of dollars to advertisers at professional clubs. Yet less than 1% are represented in decision-making or professional opportunities on and off the field across our country. We think this is unfair. To learn more and see how you can make a difference by joining our campaign or donating towards projects that will make an impact, visit our website, whythewomensworldcupmatters.com. It's time for a major change in how girls are treated here in Canada and around the world. The Women's World Cup does matter.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on.